I've had fun doing the post game show this year. This has been a fun year with me, you, and Paul.
I tell you what, it's been a blast, man. Yeah. I appreciate you guys. That stuff is fun.
Dude,
would you say Paul yells more or less on the post game show versus his usual show in the mornings?
Less.
He yells less?
Less.
Okay. Yeah, he does.
He's more refined.
He does. It's a good mix because I think Paul brings that energy level, and Paul's a very smart football guy.
He is very smart.
Cecil's as good as they get when it comes to former players talking about, really to anybody talking about it, but especially former players. And then I'm just there, you know, as Jim Ross would say, I'm just a point guard. I just got to serve it up.
Running the show, baby, man.
I just got to dish it to these guys. I just got to get them their touches. You know what I mean?
Sassafras.
Sassafras. I just get them their touches. How about Antonio Brown?
This is getting interesting.
Antonio Brown, who, if you haven't heard, basically the reason he didn't play on Sunday for the Steelers was because he was making a scene behind the scenes, throwing balls at guys at practice, not showing up for the Saturday meeting.
Those guys being Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, those guys being his quarterback.
The quarterback.
Starting quarterback.
whose texts and calls he has not returned, reportedly. And then Antonio Brown puts this on his social media. Well, actually, let me back up. On his social media this weekend, George Kittle, the tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, did one of those quasi-tampering tweets almost. Yeah. Like, hey, at AB84. And, of course, Antonio Brown, trying to stir the pot, retweets it with just the side eye, you know, like, or some sort of, or the either that or the emoji with the
like
sunglasses.
He sees it.
Yeah, he sees it. Antonio Brown put this on his social media. He put a picture of himself, almost like a black and white Olin Mills picture of him looking up at the sky. My options may seem limited by people or circumstances. It is then that I remind myself, I am in command of my attitude. I am divinely blessed with free will. I utilize that gift, choosing to take charge of my life to express the creativity, vitality, and wholeness that truly define me.
Yeah, he's also blessed with $72 million that he's in a third year of a five-year contract,
wow.
And he feels underappreciated by the franchise.
Yeah, I read this, and I have no idea if he's ever playing for the Steelers again. Cecil, what does something like this do to a locker room?
It's, you know, honestly,
like us make too much of it, or is it something?
We're just now hearing about it, the media, right? But this has been going on.
And keep in mind, this is us also the same locker room that's had to deal with the Le'Veon Bell situation.
Correct.
This stuff has been going on for a while now. This is not just I'm mad of all of a sudden. This is how he's been since maybe year two or three of the league. And I think for him, he almost carries too big of a chip on his shoulder, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a chip on his shoulder. I went sixth round, I think it was. Come in, you know, he kind of learned his way and start understanding the game and start learning from others like Chad Ochocinco and since people like that. And he kind of, you know, he grew into his own man, but it's to the point now where it's more him than we. It's more me than we, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I wanted to ask you about this situation from the standpoint of, and I don't know Ryan Clark personally, but he seems like a stand-up guy.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything bad about the guy.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not only on a broadcast, but on that broadcast, on ESPN, basically going in on an ex-teammate, that tells me more about Antonio Brown. You know, to me, I am not in that locker room. You're not. Sean isn't.
Yeah.
But to me, that seemed like, okay, if he's willing to do that, because he's not going in on Le'Veon Bell, you know, for example. So that told me a lot more about Antonio Brown in that situation than anything else, that Ryan Clark, who hasn't been there, but went to war with those guys, is saying not very flattering things.
That I was, put it this way, when Ryan Clark said that, he told the truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm learning is being in the media, you have to tell the truth, you have to tell the story. That's what you have to do, right? To me, it sounded like he kind of has a problem or issue with Antonio Brown.
But they were in a locker room together, right?
And they were Clark's in a locker room together, former teammate. He kind of had an issue with him, and he kind of went in. But to me, he told the exact truth.
Right, because if you had some sort of, you know, dust up with a defensive back, for example, that you played with, you know, here with the Texans, and you were telling specific stories about it, for example, like Ryan Clark did, then I would probably think the same thing. Well, maybe they had some sort of underlying beef. But again, go back. He's not saying that stuff about Le'Veon Bell.
He's not
saying it about the organization. He's saying it about one guy who everyone else kind of has a problem with too over there.
It's definitely an issue. He is about himself. If you look at the year, this year. And I've been on record. I told Sean, I think the Steelers are going to blow up. I think it's over for the Steelers.
Yeah, you called it.
I just think it is. I just think Antonio Brown is so worried about his stats, what he can bring to the table. He's more happy if they lose, but he has 150 yards and two touchdowns. For example, the Saints game. Whereas early in the year, when they were winning or going through it, he wasn't getting that many targets. Juju was. He was upset.
Well, and to me, this sounds like something that Mike Tomlin can't fix. That's an organizational thing versus a coaching thing. I mean, yeah, he could maybe rein him in.
Well, here's the problem.
But I think he lost a team.
This is the functional problem in this. The internal problem is that Antonio Brown clearly has issues with the franchise, has issues with guys in that locker room. Guys in that locker room now have issues with him. It's already a locker room, to your point, Cecil, that's got issues stewing with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Offensive linemen speaking out about Le'Veon Bell during the season. Like, this is already a cesspool of dysfunction. The math doesn't allow them to do anything with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
They can't, whether they trade him, they're not going to release him, obviously.
No,
he's one of the best wide receivers in football. If they trade him, the cap hit to trade him is they take a $21 million cap hit to trade him. Now, if somebody wants to offer enough to where they'll overpay to make it feel like, okay, well, you know, we'll take a $21 million cap hit, but boy, we're getting two firsts and a third or something like that. I just don't see anybody giving them a Khalil Mack type package for a guy who's, I don't know how old he is, but he's either in his sweet spot or approaching the back end of his sweet spot as a player. He's truculent in the locker room. And oh, by the way, he's got one of the biggest contracts in all of football. Like, that's the only thing that's good about Antonio Brown is that you know you're going to get 100 catches from him regardless. I say regardless of who the quarterback is, but when Big Ben's been out, it's not like Antonio Brown's been D-hop. You know, when his streak, remember he had that ridiculous streak? And I say ridiculous because it's the most arbitrary catch and yard thing ever.
Yeah.
But remember, everybody made a big deal years ago about that streak he had of how many games in a row with five catches and 50 yards?
Yeah.
So for this many games in a row, he's been, like, you know, average. But but it was a lot of games. What it meant was he showed up for a bunch of games in a row, basically. That streak broke when Michael Vick had to be the quarterback in Pittsburgh. Mm. You know, so, look, Antonio Brown's great, but the Steelers are stuck. They're stuck.
And by the way, as Texans fans, this is delicious. I love this.
Well, anything that does damage to the other contenders in the AFC is a good thing.
Absolutely, because you want, you know, what's best for the Texans.
Yes.
But it's tough. I'm not going to lie to you. It's tough as a receiver not to think about yourself, right? So the way you play your best is if, you know, the ball comes to you and you make the most of the play. So you want the ball to come to you as much as possible, especially if you're a number one guy like him. So your mindset is, I have to get the ball. I need the ball. I'm one of the best playmakers in the NFL, if not the best. He's probably one of the best football players in the NFL, honestly.
Yeah.
And his mindset is so, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. He lost the fact of the objective is to win.
Yeah.
So if we're winning, I don't get the ball. Or if we're winning, I'm getting double teamed. They're throwing the Juju or the tight ends or Connor. It's okay. But he's so focused on himself. It's throwing everything off.
This to me, too, and I talked to Wex about this last night, is what, again, impresses me so much about DeAndre Hopkins, because you know, you were in the locker room with him, and he's played with how many quarterbacks and still put up the numbers consistently, and he's never made a peep about anything. And you know he was hating life when Brock Osweiler was here. If anybody
That's
else
incredible.
Doesn't want to say it, I'll say it, because I know he hated it. Look at the dip in his numbers that season. It's stupid.
Yeah.
But everyone else he produces with, and he's kept his mouth shut, and it's like, you just realize how good you have it when you see a situation like this in Pittsburgh here in Houston.
He's the ultimate. He will come to Nate Washington in games like, listen, are y'all open? Okay, because they're doubling me. This isn't that. See, so you got to be open here. So they tell, hey, to go tell him. In fact, I'm going to go tell him. So he would try to figure out ways to get us the ball. Knowing how good he is. He's like, I just want to win. See, that's all I care about. This is winning.
That's crazy.
And look, credit the Texans, too. They made him the highest paid receiver in football coming off of a season where he got Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Right? Where he had 900 yards receiving.
That was the season. I forgot
about
that.
Yeah, I mean, they could have very easily taken that into the negotiating room. And they look, man, you were, literally like 600 yards less than the year you played with him in 2015.
Well, I think 900 with Brock is equal to like 1,500.
1,700.
Cecil and I have talked about the Osweilerian conversion chart. 900 yards with Brock. 900 yards with Brock.
At least 1,600.
Is
at least,
a Megatron at least 1,600. Season. We call that Megatron.
That's good.
All right. Coming up next, we got another nice long segment with Cecil Shorts. SI.com has done their internal voting with all of their writers on the awards for the NFL. There's some interesting stuff in here, and I'm curious if the writers who actually select these awards are looking at these similarly. There is some Texans love sprinkled in here, which we'll tell you about coming up next. You're listening to The Triple Threat. Welcome back, Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Sean Pendergast, Adam Clanton in for Rich. Cecil Shorts making his weekly visit. You can hear Cecil this Saturday following the Texans and the Colts with myself and Paul Gallant. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to the NFL postseason overall. We'll get into some of the matchups. We got a nice long segment here with Cecil. Before we get into this NFL awards thing that SI.com did, I love stuff like this. I don't even know that I need to ask Cecil this question because I know he's such a homer. For the 216.
You know it.
Slash 440, right?
Slash is it four? Yeah,
440. Yeah. Which of the 8 job openings in the NFL is the best one?
Come on now, Cleveland. You got Baker. You got my man Baker. You got Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, 1,000 yards this year.
Your son's nodding his head. Look at,
can we just say
the first take from Cecil the Fourth? He's nodding his head. Got a Snicker bar. He's all fired up.
He's the coolest little kid ever. I just gotta say that. We had a nice conversation about his favorite Christmas list on the way down the hall during the break. And he was telling me about his walkie-talkies. That was his favorite present. But his second favorite one, he said, I've got a car that crawls up walls, but it doesn't work very well.
Let me tell you about gravity, kid.
I know, right?
Let me tell you about a guy named Sir Isaac Newton. So you've got your son brainwashed to the whole Cleveland thing, so
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, it's interesting, though. So my wife is, kind of against me. So she's from Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland. And our first two born, Cecil and Peyton, they're from, they were born actually in Canton. But they're, Browns fans,
sure.
Indians fans,
yep.
Cavs fans. But the other 5 are born here in Houston.
Sure.
So she's like, they need to be Houston first.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. As head of the household, they need to cheer for the Browns.
Look at our taxes. I'm the head of the household.
Cheer for these Browns.
That's a bold move to go head of the household, to call
that is a bold
veto
move.
Power.
She was in a good mood. She was in a good mood. You got to be careful when you put it.
You do. Hey, here's the thing. All joking aside, I 100% agree with you. Mm. I think that Cleveland job is a plum job right now. And you know why, Cecil? Because I think the owner, knock on wood, from my mouth to God's ears, mm-hmm. I think the owner has finally figured out to get out of the way.
Yes.
And just let his football people do their thing. This Kansas City roster that's going to take the field next week because they have a bye was largely built by John Dorsey.
Yes, sir.
Who has all this draft equity
and
salary cap space. Not to mention the guys he's brought in on his staff, like Alonzo Highsmith, who spent years in Green Bay.
Yeah.
To put that team together. And you mentioned the biggest thing is, like here, they've got the guy who's going to be their quarterback for the next 12 years.
When you have that guy, you can build around him.
Yeah.
But it's hard to do it the opposite way. It's hard to find the guy, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Cleveland knows about that.
Yes. Well, we went through 22, 23 starting year quarterbacks in a certain amount of time. So when you have Baker, that brings a lot of attraction to the team.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because if you look at, the other teams, because it's, I guess, 1/4 of the league need coaches now, right?
Yeah, I've got the list in front of me here. What were you going to say?
I don't know how I feel about Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. I'm iffy on that because of how... What I hear, how he is kind of hard to work with, and he's older at that, 33, 34.
He's not changing.
He's not going to change. And how much time does he have left? Yes, he's awesome. Outstanding. 4,400 yards this year. Outstanding. 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. But how much so, and this might be the last go-around, the next 4 or 5 years before we start to see a decline.
If he
stays healthy.
He's 35 years old.
If he stays healthy. He's been having collarbone issues the last couple years.
He has. He got rolled up with that knee earlier in the season, and he was able to come back. I think I did a ranking of him on the Houston Press.
Let's do it.
I think the Green Bay job is number 2.
Okay.
Only because you may be able to get in there, and if Rodgers is Rodgers, you might be able to steal a couple deep playoff runs early on in your career and maybe jump off, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But just going through the rest of them, I feel like the next handful that are good jobs are the ones where there are young quarterbacks on rookie deals, or in the case of Jameis Winston, on a 5th-year deal. Like, I feel like the next 2 good jobs are the Jets in Arizona, because you've got Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold.
You think Rosen's good?
Well, I think you got a young quarterback on a rookie deal, and if he's not good, you just punt on it and you move on to something else.
I got you.
You're not a Rosen fan? I'm not wild about Rosen.
I'm not. He hasn't showed me anything.
Yeah.
And I watched 5 or 6 games. I'm just not impressed with him, honestly.
Well, they have the number 1 pick in the draft, so they can address it.
They do have that. Yeah, they do. Well, look, I remember the Carolina Panthers drafted Jimmy Clausen in 2010.
I do remember that.
And they were so bad, and then they had the number one pick. They're like, we're gonna draft Cam Newton.
I realize we draft Clausen. I'm not joking when I say that. If you don't feel good about the guy, you've got the number one pick.
You do. The problem is there's no quarterback in this draft that's feels like they're worth the number one overall pick,
like
at least
Haskins?
Right now.
Oh, yeah, not number one overall, but you like Haskins?
Yeah, I like him. Not if I already have Rosen and I have the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah,
I agree with
that. So I feel like that's the next. What do you think of the Tampa Bay job with Winston there? Do you like Winston?
I do like Winston. I think that's a good job. I think that's top five in my opinion.
Okay, he's gonna be on a 1-year deal basically. Yeah. He's gonna be on that fifth year option. The rumor today, and it was shot down by a lot of people, was that Brian Kelly was in the mix for Tampa Bay.
Oh, please no.
Okay.
No offense.
No, I don't care. If they hire Brian Kelly, Notre Dame can hire somebody else, and on we go. It doesn't matter to me. I just need to see that because I think Brian Kelly would murder Jameis Winston with his bare hands like 3 or 4 picks into the season.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be, It'd be
glorious.
Kind of like
the word
you're
glorious to look for.
That's
no.
the word you're looking for.
No.
Be great theater.
Exact opposite.
And then to me, the bottom three jobs are the ones that are in like quarterback limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, you know, Case Keenum. And then Miami and Cincinnati, you have Ryan Tannehill and Andy Dalton.
Although the rumor is they're ready to move on from Tannehill.
I would move on from both of those guys if I were those teams.
They need
teams.
To ASAP.
Yeah. So
yeah, because with Marvin Lewis, it kind of feels like if you still hang on to Andy Dalton, you're not really making that transition.
Cincinnati's easier to get out of. Andy Dalton has no more guaranteed money left. They can dump Andy Dalton. There's no dead money. Tannehill, different story.
Right.
He signed a contract extension. It would be expensive to dump him. But Cincinnati is... I mean, you're a Cleveland guy, Cecil. You know this. Cincinnati, that's... I don't care about they've won a few divisions or whatnot. That's a bad franchise.
Yeah, nobody wants to go there. Visit, do nothing. There's nothing good happening in Cincinnati.
Ted Johnson tanked his workout for the Bengals back in the day.
Yeah, it's not attractive.
True story.
Not attractive at all.
Yeah. But what do you think about those jobs at Tannehill and Cincinnati and Miami and Denver? Of those that have sort of veteran... You know, not in it for the long haul, guys. Which of those are the most attractive to you?
I would say Miami. Definitely not Cincinnati. I just don't feel like that roster is built to win right now.
Yep.
I think AJ Green, I don't know how much guaranteed money he has left. I'm pretty sure he's fed up and ready to move. I know for a fact he's not a big fan of Andy Dalton as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
As a friend,
you hear
of
that
course,
through the grapevine?
Through the grapevine.
Yeah.
But he's just not a big fan as a quarterback. In that case, but I think Miami might be the best job out of those three.
Yeah,
Denver seems like they're getting old to me. They're getting older on defense.
Problem with Denver is you're working for the Teflon Don,
right? And how do you feel about John Elway?
Yeah,
because I think he's overrated as all get out as a GM.
He's just an average GM to me.
Yeah.
He's nothing special.
But he gets all this praise, and I'm like, what has he done?
He's nothing special at all. We'll see. I think next couple years with him really drafting and bringing guys in, we'll see how that goes.
His one quarterback that he's handpicked.
Peyton.
Well, his two that he's handpicked. I'm talking about like handpicked in the draft. Yeah.
Oh.
He was able to recruit Peyton, and that saved his bacon.
Yeah, he wasn't doing well leading up to that.
Well, he had only been there a year, but he got Peyton because he's John Elway and because the Texans didn't want Peyton that year, if you remember that.
I remember.
But the two quarterbacks that he's handpicked in the draft, higher up. I'm not talking about Trevor Siemian.
Brock
Osweiler in 2012. 2012, Elway picked Brock Osweiler in the second round. Yeah,
who's the other one?
Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch.
In the first round.
He traded
up to get Paxton Lynch.
You're right.
Who's out of football, I think.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Wait, so he drafted Paxton and he drafted a kid from Chad Kelly? Did he draft Chad Kelly?
He did.
It was late, though.
He was Mr. Irrelevant.
He drafted Simeon?
And he drafted Simeon, yeah.
So he's 0-for-4?
Yeah. Well, Chad
Kelly. At that position that he played.
Chad Kelly's a bad pick because he did something you were advocating for, in all due respect. Stumbling drunk into somebody else's house and sitting down on the couch.
Yeah.
I actually thought he was talented.
Adam's kind of okay with that.
Well, at least he didn't try to, get fast food with weed.
I guess not. Although to be clear, you were okay with
was
it because the door was unlocked. So as long as Chad Kelly didn't jimmy the lock to
I
go
blame
in the house.
The homeowner because they left the door unlocked.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I
fair
gave
enough.
Him a pass.
That's crazy.
All right. So I'm looking at these awards for the SI.com, 12 writers for SI.com did their awards for NFL. I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to throw it out there, and then I'll tell you who won these things, and then I'll tell you if there's any Texans sprinkled into this thing. Executive of the Year. This may be too obscure an award.
Executive of the
year. Yeah, I'll just tell you, Chris Ballard won it in Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I think it's well-deserved. He got 11 first-place votes.
Probably going to win it next year.
Yeah, 11 first-place votes. John Dorsey was second.
Yeah, I
definitely can see that. 41 points. Yeah.
The Colts are setting themselves up for a very, very good run.
They are.
Sick.
Very, very good run.
They are. This is a big offseason for them. This is an offseason that could take them from playoff team to perennial bye week competition every, competition
Super Bowl contender.
Top two of the AFC. Yep. Offensive rookie of the year.
Baker.
9 first place votes for Baker. 4 for Saquon Barkley. So I guess some of these, there are 13 voters. And then Phillip Lindsay, 3rd. I think Baker's going to win that thing running away, which didn't look that way early on in the season.
It didn't.
Saquon was getting it done, and Baker Mayfield took a few games. It took Hugh Jackson getting fired to get Baker Mayfield this hardware.
That's sad. That's sad.
Yep. I'm going to skip over special teams player of the year, although Kyme Fairbairn got a few votes. Coach of the year. Who would you guys give coach of the year right now to?
Coach of the year. I wouldn't give it to Andy Reid just because... Yeah, I wouldn't do that, even though I think he's in the running. Matt Nagy.
Matt Nagy tied for 2nd with Frank Reich, Andy Reid with 5 first-place votes, enough to barely win over Nagy and Frank Reich. 45 points. They're doing it based on 5-4-3-2-1 type of voting. You know, you vote 1 through 5, and you get points in reverse order. Bill O'Brien got 5 points.
Including?
Which was one first-place vote.
One first-place vote.
He should.
Somebody gave him a first-place vote.
He should. 11-5, you should be in the talks if you start up. You go 11-5.
The coaches ahead of him. I don't have any squabble, though, Cecil, with the coaches ahead of him. The 3 I just named, Pete Carroll, Anthony Lynn, and John Harbaugh.
Yeah, Anthony Lynn had a great
some good
year.
Coaching jobs this year. Comeback player of the year.
Ooh, this can go a few ways. You can go what? I mean, probably luck, honestly. And I haven't thought my man, Jerry Heil in there. But he ain't, I don't know if he got a vote or not, but.
Okay.
Probably Watt or Luck. I'm guessing Luck.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding. Andrew Luck, 64 points. He got 12 first place votes. So he won it pretty handily. J.J. Watt 2nd, which ruins one of my predictions. One of my predictions coming into the season was if J.J. Watt finished the season upright and walking, able to play, he would win comeback player of the year.
But you didn't see Andrew Luck coming.
I did not see Andrew Luck.
I don't think nobody saw him coming.
Well, that's why they
this
wouldn't
incredible.
Pick, nobody
not
would
like
pick
this.
The Colts
no,
to win
the
division
all.
Because they didn't know what Luck was going to be.
Yeah, it was too much in jeopardy. You just didn't know.
Yep. Deshaun Watson 3rd, by the way. 44 points.
Okay.
And Dre Howell did get 1 5th place
my man,
vote. Yeah.
My man. There we go.
He got 1 5th place vote. Jalen Smith got the other 1st place vote, by the way. That's a lot of good candidates.
It is.
Adrian
it is,
Peterson is. Finished 4th, so a lot of good candidates. Defensive rookie of the year.
Leonard from the Colts.
Leonard finished 3rd, but it was a tight race. Derwin James from the Chargers, 8 first place votes.
Oh,
the
I
safety
forgot about him, yeah.
And Leighton Vander Esch finished 2nd with the
Colts,
with the Cowboys.
I mean, the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Darius Leonard's going to be heartbroken when he
where
finds
is Leonard
out.
At?
I know.
Or in Chubb.
Leonard's 3rd. Bradley Chubb tied for 5th. Denzel Ward 4th.
The A.
216 stand
up. Browns, baby.
216 stand
coming up.
All right, so offensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year, Patrick Mahomes.
Non-quarterback.
Oh, it says, I'm sorry, yeah,
oh,
offensive player of the year. They're doing it best. They're doing it. Thank you, Adam.
Sorry.
No, I needed that because I'm looking here. I'm going, God, Mahomes didn't finish in the top 10. Best non-QB offensive player of the year.
Oh,
I feel like you should be able to guess this one because this is almost like giving out best fantasy player.
Yeah.
And there's no more hardcore fantasy player
Todd
in town
Gurley.
Than Cecil Shorts. Todd Gurley finished 2nd.
Come on now.
Same position.
Melvin Gordon? Nah.
Nope. Think upstate.
McCaffrey?
No. Upstate.
Upstate.
Our state. Up 45. Dallas.
Ezekiel?
Ezekiel. Offensive
really?
Player of the year. 8 first place votes. Yeah.
Over Todd Gurley?
Over Todd Gurley, yeah.
I don't like that.
Gurley missed the last couple games.
I don't
though.
Like that.
I don't like
that. Why, did you have Gurley on your fantasy team?
I did have Gurley. I did have Gurley. He led me to the
promised
land.
That is a Romeo Crennel. This is what Cecil just sounded like. Hey, Cecil, what do you think of Todd Gurley?
Oh, yeah.
That kind of sounds like... Kind of sounds like Herbert on Family Guy.
Don't spoil that cut, Adam Clayton.
That is
Romeo Crennel being told that the biscuits are ready. DeAndre Hopkins 3rd, by the way, for best non-QB. I agree. I think you can make a case that he's the best non-QB.
You could.
Period.
You could.
I know Gurley and Elliott, especially Gurley with all those touchdowns, put up these explosive stats.
Yeah.
But I think if you get into the nuance of what Hopkins means to this team, how difficult it is for him week to week.
Yeah.
And just to me, just he's so unique in what he does. Like, every catch seems to count with that guy. It feels like every catch for him is scoring a touchdown or moving the chains or making some kind of catch that nobody else in the league
Or making Jalen Ramsey his son.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Which he did last week.
That's a good point.
Again. Yep.
That's
12
a good
catches,
point.
Buck 47. Defensive player of the year.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, 12 first-place votes. Khalil Mack got the other first-place vote. Bobby Wagner, Seattle, third.
He had a good year.
He did, and really I feel like year. That Seattle team needs to be repped in some of the places on here because they were a bit of a surprise. Most people thought that this was Seattle was going to regress.
Yeah,
I did. Legion Boom was dead. All
yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like their total coming into the season, I think in Vegas was 7.5 wins.
Good job by Pete Carroll and those guys.
This might have been his best coaching job this year.
I got them winning Saturday or Sunday.
I do too.
I got them beating the Cowboys. No offense, Cowboys.
Pete Carroll's undefeated in the wild card.
You can offend the Cowboys here.
I can.
I'm fine with it.
All offense.
Pete Carroll's undefeated in the wild card round of the playoffs.
Is he?
In the wild card. Now he hasn't always been in the wild card round.
Yeah, very
true. He's either been out of the playoffs or he's at a bye. But Pete Carroll, I think, is 6-0 in the wild card round of the playoffs as coach of Seattle.
Russell Wilson finds a way to win.
He does.
He makes plays when they need it most.
They can run the football now, too.
Oh, man. Chris Carson.
Yeah.
Golly. Fantasy-wise, he's been pretty good.
Well, Dallas is lucky. It always comes back to that.
I'm sorry.
They're lucky that game's not being played in Seattle.
Of course. I mean, J.J. Watt, fourth, by the way.
Fourth, okay.
Yeah, which I don't think that's disrespect. That sounds about right. Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald's been off the... Aaron Donald has been this season what J.J. Watt was 4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's what J.J. Watt was in 2014. Bobby Wagner.
Oh, so
yeah, yeah, Bobby Wagner. Yeah. Okay, here we go. Last one. MVP.
This is quarterbacks included.
This
right?
is everybody.
MVP, I mean, you got to say Mahomes, I'm guessing.
Mahomes, there are 13 voters, 9 first-place votes, Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
One other player got the other 4. It's probably not hard to guess who that is. The other guy who's been in contention all year.
Oh, Brees.
Drew Brees, yeah. Drew Brees. Andrew Luck, Philip Rivers. I feel like those are the 4 guys.
It's a quarterback award. It's a quarterback award.
It is. Deshaun Watson, 7th. Is Deshaun Watson one of the 7 most valuable players in football? I think you could argue Deshaun Watson is one of the 5 most valuable players in football. Yeah.
Take him off the roster,
take
see what
him
happens.
Off the team, see what
you
happens.
Got that right.
Well, okay, hold on. You take, for example, Mahomes didn't play last year for the Chiefs.
Right.
Alex Smith did.
What was their record?
Like 12-4.
Similar.
So you see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with it?
Yeah.
Mahomes is awesome. One of the probably the top 2 greatest arm talents right now in the league. But with all the people surrounding him.
Is this your argument for Drew Brees?
This is my argument for Drew. I want Drew to get one.
Has he never won MVP?
No, he's never won one.
I thought he did in 06. I guess it was Manning that year.
He's never won one.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Never won one.
But he's surrounded by so many. I mean, it's hard. He's surrounded by Kelce, Hill, all those guys. But, I mean, I can't speak for it. He's throwing no look passes and stuff.
Deshaun, 7th. DeAndre Hopkins, 12th.
He got some votes, really.
He did. 4 votes. So the Texans have 2 of the top 12 guys. As I'm looking here, are they the only one with 2 in the top? They are.
Any defenders on there? Is Aaron Donald getting?
Aaron Donald, 5th. Khalil Mack, 8th. And Bobby Wagner tied for 13th with Christian McCaffrey. Baker Mayfield, 15th, Cecil.
We got some hope.
I love it. I love the unabashed homerism.
We got some hope.
Last thing before we let you go, you mentioned you're picking the Texans this week, and this is the last time you'll be on the air before the game on Saturday.
Yeah.
What is your specific prediction for the game?
I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game. I think T.Y. will do what T.Y. does, but I think we'll slow him down enough to come up with the victory, and I think Deshaun's going to be special on Saturday afternoon.
He will need to be.
I really do.
Yep.
I really do. And I expect a big play from one of the younger guys.
Which one?
Not sure if it's Vincent or DeAndre or Kiki or tight ends. I'm going to go out on the limb, and I'm going to say Vincent Smith.
Yeah, you pick one so that if it happens.
I'm going to say Vincent. He's going to make a big play.
Cecil, here, this is your next lesson as you transition into this industry. pick one, because if you're right, you can brag about it. And if it doesn't happen, nobody ever remembers anyways.
Yes, sir.
It just disappears into the ethos.
I like that.
Yeah, it's not like a tweet.
I'm learning.
It goes
learning.
Way after you say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's almost as if it never happened.
Cecil, you got to be more bombastic.
I like it, man. I like it. Okay, okay.
My so friend, Vincent Smith. We will see you on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
All right. Sounds good. Cecil
Y'all take
Shorts
care.
The
you
third.
Too. Thanks for bringing the kid.
Cecil Shorts the fourth.
No problem.
Yeah. If your dad ever can't make it, we need to. We'll just take an Uber and bring you up here, and we can still say we have Cecil Shorts on.
You down with it?
He's not right. In his head. That's
bring,
yes.
Hey, bring right, that. Bring that car next time. I want to see that.
The car that goes up walls.
Yeah.
You gonna bring it?
It doesn't work.
All right.